This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, or printed copies of today's sermon will follow the program. If you enjoy today's program, we invite you to join us again on this station every Sunday.
Who are the leaders in our church? That's the theme that I would like to use for my sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we look into your word again today, we see your great concern about those who are going to lead the church. Today, O God, we know that there is an equal concern, where you have chosen people to go forth with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There you need strong leadership. And so we pray today we may see the importance of this as we take a look at what Mark's gospel tells us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Christ,
friends in Christ. If you were starting your life's work over, are there certain things that you would do differently? I would have to answer yes, there are. I've had a good ministry, but I've made some big mistakes, and I'd like to have an opportunity to do it over. Well, you may ask the question, what one thing would you do differently? And I would answer, one of the things that I would add to the curriculum would be a lot of two-day retreats with the leaders and potential leaders of our congregation, where we go away and listen to Christ speak through His Word. Where did you get this idea from? Has a new book now been written that tells us to do that? Oh, I'm sure there have been books, and there are mighty good books along that same line. But my thought today comes from our text, and I'd like to read it to you, for it tells you the story of Jesus, who is with His disciples on a retreat. Now, take a look at this. This is a kind of a story. Once upon a time, that kind of a thing. Jesus was going with His disciples and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know where they were, because He was teaching His disciples. See, that's a retreat. He has taken them away from the public's eye, and now they're going to be alone. They had heard Him teach, but now He is going to get right down to the core of their life in the future as His disciples in this world. And there are some of these basic things that the sooner they understand what His mission is all about, the better it's going to be for them and for all concerned. So He gets them alone. And this here then in our text today, in the 9th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, are these words. He's given them the agenda. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill Him, and 3 days later He will rise. But they did not understand what He meant and were afraid to ask Him about it. Now get the picture once again. They're walking along the way. They're alone. Just the 12 and Jesus Himself. I've got to tell you this story. And the subject is this, that I, the Son of Man, I am going to be betrayed, making reference to Judas. And then He says, I will be delivered up, and I would be tried, and I would be sentenced to death, and I would die on a cross, but on the 3rd day, I would be raised again. They didn't understand this. It was, of course, a disappointment to the disciples because they didn't expect a Messiah like that. But they said, well, we're not quite sure what He's talking about. They didn't want to talk to Him about it. They didn't want to question Him. They knew enough. But if He is going away and we are left without Him, who among us is the greatest? Because it's about time that we sit down and try to figure out who of the 12 disciples is the one who should be the leader. It's my impression that 10 of the 12 said, well, I don't want to have anything to do with it. It's too big a job for me. I wouldn't be up to that. But it finally got down to 2. The one was Peter, who certainly was a kind of a born leader, I assume. At least he took over. He was the one who could speak for the group if they needed to have a spokesperson. So he was the administrator, we'll call him. But then there's another one who had sort of a depth in his faith that was lacking in some of the others. His name was John. So should it be John or should it be Peter? And they had an argument. Well, they came to Capernaum, and Jesus was not very happy, I don't think, with the way the retreat was going. But he was in the house, and he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. It must have just taken the heart right out of Jesus. Here he was talking to them about his suffering and his death and his glorious resurrection, and they were bothering their heads about such a silly thing as who is the greatest among the 12. Now, isn't that a picture, friend, today of the church? So often we throw aside that great, big, important message of bringing Christ to the nation, and we talk about all kinds of things that are, in comparison, rather insignificant. Not that they're insignificant, but in comparison, they are. We spend our time often majoring in minors. I read through one church paper after another, and I hear about all these things we have to be doing and doing and doing, but I don't hear one thing about the cross. I don't hear one thing about the empty tomb. I don't hear one thing about people being converted and meeting Christ and knowing that they are saved and that they're His forever. I assume that that is taken for granted, that you get there some way, somehow or rather you just get that faith implanted in you, and that's it. This is not what the Word of God says. Our main concern is to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world, and that's what Jesus is talking to them about. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be delivered up. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die for the sins of the world. And the world's salvation depends upon those particular things. And they didn't get it. Tom Wright, in his commentary on this portion of God's Word, said, "You know, I really feel sorry for the disciples, that they can miss the point as much as they did and feel that they were truly the chosen ones of God." Jesus had them on a retreat. He wanted to get them aside. He wanted to talk to them in a very, very close situation. And that's my point today. That's what we must do in the church with our leadership. We must come apart, sometimes from the rest of the congregation. We must come apart from society. We can leave our radios and televisions behind. And on this retreat, it'll be a small group of people, no fishing poles, and no golf clubs. Now, the details of this are up for grab. And I just want to say that I'm preaching this because I am an old man. And I have some real concerns for the church that we're leaving behind. And I'm going to be perfectly blunt. I have real concerns about its leadership and where we are going. By that, I do not in any way seek to denounce any one particular leader. I don't know enough of them to do that. But I am anxious to say that the way the leadership is moving, which is away from the Scriptures, is something that ought to cause many of us to be very, very concerned. And so I speak today to the pastors who are still in their jobs, and the congregations who are taking a look at the church. I would have many, many small retreats. I take these numbers for granted. I would take a small group of, say, 20 people of the leaders or those who are the potential leaders, and we would gather together. Now, we would talk about the basics. I just get the picture. This is what I want to do, is try to draw a verbal picture for you. Where you could have a story. Once upon a time, we went on a retreat. And on this retreat, we had as our purpose to talk first about the way of salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus gave us the agenda. We talk about being betrayed, that he would be betrayed. And we would have to admit that, yes, that was Judas in those days. But it is also many of us today. How have we go contrary to the Word of God? How have we betrayed our Savior? Point them out. Show what we have done. Discuss them. Be honest with one another. And if not together, then alone in the quietness of your room. Where did I play the role of a Judas? And then I would hear him say, I suffered. And I would think of those times that he was so crushed that his disciples left him. But there was also a punishment, not a punishment, but something that he had to go through where he suffered. Suffered physically. Had to have the nails pierced in his hands. The crown of thorns on his head. He was suffering there at Calvary, having been unjustly tried. And here he was dying for the sins of the world. But then we hear that glorious message of the resurrection. Now, with all of this before us, while we're on the retreat, and we spend as much time on these things, and any questions that have come up should try to be answered on the basis of Scripture. And then would come that personal question. Are all of us, the pastor and the 20 others, are we in a living, personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do we know him personally? Does his word speak to us every day? Do we come to him in prayer daily? It's not just that I know about him, but do I really, really say, now I have met him? And no person who does not have the assurance of his salvation is qualified to be in a leadership position of the church. Oh, you said, hold it. This is going a little bit too far, isn't it? I'm not so sure. Who are these leaders? They are the leaders who come to the church on Sunday morning and teach our boys and girls and adults what God's word has to say. Say you've got a fourth grade child going into Sunday school this Sunday. Can you imagine that child sitting in a Sunday school classroom with a Sunday school teacher who doesn't know Jesus Christ personally? Who cannot say from his or her heart, this is what he has done for me? This is pretty important, isn't it, people? Who is leading your church? Those who make their decisions, not just to do some of the more or less mundane things, keep the building up, et cetera, et cetera. But who's really leading, giving them the straightforward vision of what the congregation ought to be doing as they reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ? It's not necessarily the best businessman. In the Sunday school, it is not necessarily the most apt teacher. It is a person who has that first qualification that he or she is in a personal relationship with God and knows Jesus Christ personally. Day number one of the retreat. Ask yourself when you go back tonight to your room, on bended knees, am I one of those leaders who can honestly say, I trust Jesus, I know he is mine. Friend, day number two. Now, you're the leaders. You're going to lead that congregation. We don't have a bishop that comes and really drums things down our throat like some church government does. The congregation does it. We want to talk about some of these subjects. And during the years that I have been in the ministry, we have dealt with several of them. Did our leadership really know what the Word of God was saying? Were our decisions correct? Let's take in the 50s. I was a young pastor. The issue was divorce. At that time, we had somewhat of a different understanding of how we would deal with divorce in the congregation. And perhaps we would say then that we got a new hermeneutic, new understanding. In the 60s, I think about that time, we had to deal with the question of ordaining women into the ministry. The feminist movement was on. What was culture saying? And we dealt with it. And blessings have come from it, I believe. But did the leadership really know what the Word of God said? Not what the psychologist or the sociologist said. What did the Word of God say? And now of late, we have dealt with the matter of homosexuality. Does the leadership of the church, and I speak not only of denominational leaders, but of congregational leaders, do we know what the Word of God really says? Where does it stand written? What does it say about homosexuality? What does it mean when St. Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he gave them up? Those are hard words. I don't know if we'd like to take that. I don't like to take that. But as a leader in a church, don't you think that every leader ought to know this is what the Word of God says, so that if he votes differently or feels differently or leads differently, he at least knows that he is departing at that point from the literal teaching of the Word of God. It is not what a society is saying if you're a leader. Rather, it is what the Bible is saying. What is the mission of the church? That is a very, very important matter. Is it to tell the story of Jesus Christ? It is. That's for sure. But to tell the story of Christ, you've got to know the Christ. My friends, I am anxious to say again that we have many wonderful leaders who know Jesus personally and are using their gifts for the furtherance of the kingdom. But there is a real temptation to go beyond that. And I fear that some of that is being done. The church is not facing an easy future. Our young people are only interested, if they go to church at all, hearing the gospel. And if they do not hear the gospel in their church, they will go some other place. So that's why I'd like to follow Jesus' practice and take these people and bring them in to a quiet place and ponder first the basic issue of all, the way of salvation, and then the pending problems that confront the church in 2009. Amen. Father in heaven, forgive us our sins as leaders in the church. Grant that we may take ourselves apart and that we may study what you have to say about the very, very essential, the way of salvation, but also the issues that the church deals with, that we may be sure that where we're leading is according to your word and not the political philosophy of the day. Hear our prayer we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
You have been listening to Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray that today's gospel message will bring you peace in the week to come. We invite you to remember a loved one with a memorial gift to this ministry. Gifts can be given in any amount and allow you to commemorate a loved one's life while ensuring the good news of Jesus Christ continues to reach those who may not be able to attend church. Please direct your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Or you can call our office for more information on memorial gifts and other types of contributions. That number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. If you know a friend, family member, or neighbor in need of the illuminating presence of Jesus Christ in their life, please tell them how easy it is to tune into our program and hear the gospel. In this way, you become a partner in sharing the good news of our Lord and Savior. If you'd like a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Conducting today's sermon was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, speaker on Christian Crusaders for the past 47 years.